Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachim Yudches. We're holding halfway down the Omid at the word Akati. So it's about halfway down. And Akati is the last word on that line. And that's where we're holding Akati. Mehocha Nafka, Mehosam Nafka. Still. Do you mean that the source provided yesterday, that if a kohen is missing his attire, missing his begotten, he is disqualified from doing avodah? In fact, if he does the avodah, it becomes puzzle. So is it this pasuk, the pasuk that we learned yesterday? Mehosam Nafko. We learned it from elsewhere, another pasuk. So why do we need two psukim, two sources, for the same idea? Pasuk says, "V'nasnu bnei Aaron hakayin eish alam esbeach." So the sons of Aaron hakayin, Aaron hakayin is the kohen gadol, of course. Why the word hakayin? We already know Aaron is the kohen gadol. To tell you, b'kihunoi, when he presents himself as a kohen, when he's a valid kohen gadol, which means only when he's wearing his uniform. Limei, this teaches us, al kohen gadol shalavash, big day kohen hedyet. If a kohen gadol chooses to downgrade his attire, he wears only the four begadim meant for a kohen hedyet. V'avad, and he proceeds with the avodah, avodos epesula. It affects his work, his avodah is pasul. We see from here, if a kohen is missing, his big day kohen, it's pasul. Why do we need two sources for the same thing? The answer is Imei Hasam. If only from that pasuk, Havamina, I would think, Hanemili Avoido de Ma'akva Kaparo. So if it's only the pasuk that we had yesterday, V'hoise Lahem, Kuhuna Luchukas Oilam, right? Perhaps that only relates to avodah, which is critical to the success of the carbon, like zrika, components which are vital for the kapara. But let's say he's involved in something which is not vital to the kapara, like lighting the fire on the mizbeach, which is the subject of this pasuk here. Right? This says v'nosnu in the iron hakayin eish al hamizbeach. Rashi explains that really, it's a mitzvah, it's a great mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah ba'almahi. It's just a mitzvah because really, there already was fire there, spiritual, heavenly fire, which wouldn't be affected by rain or snow, as the Mishnah in Maseches Aveh says. So there was fire all right, but there was a mitzvah to actually light, to add personal fire. As per the general precept of our avodah, which is, sure, Hashem helps us, but Hashem wants us to invest. Do your part, and I will complete the rest. So in any case, it was just a mitzvah. It wasn't akiv kapara. So perhaps in this case, it's not so critical that he wear the big day kuhuna. And that's why we need this pasuk. Even there, it's quite important. Ask the Gemara. But still, we have another pasuk. V'akati me'ocha nafkan, still, is it from this pasuk? From the pasuk of Ahoy Selahem, which we discussed yesterday, to which we add the additional pasuk of today, we have yet a third pasuk, Mahasam Nafka, we have a third source. This is regarding the Kehanim placing the parts of the Oila on the Mizbeach, V'orchu bnei Aharon, ha-Kehanim, esan esachem, why ha-Kehanim? It's obvious. It teaches us ha-Kehanim b'kihunam, when they're wearing the big day kuhuna, which their status is dependent upon, right? So we learn from here, Mikan, the kohen hedit, shalavash, big day kohen gadol v'avad, the kohen hedit, regular kohen, decides to upgrade and wear extra begotten meant for the kohen gadol v'avad, and he proceeds with the avodah, but this psula becomes possible. So again, why do we need so many psukim? Answers the Gemara, imi hasam. If only from the other psukim, I mean, I would think, hani mi lechisur. That's only if he drops. He goes down. Let's say he's, you know, a kohen gadol, he only wears four, etc. Aval, yiter, light, but perhaps if he adds to his required amount, he goes up from four to eight, perhaps no harm was done. Aval, yiter, light, kamash, one comes this pasuk and says no. A regular kohen must present like a regular kohen. If he should add to his number of begotten, kamashwan, that the avodah is possible. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, further on the topic of Bigdei Kahuna, which is meant to present him as honorable and noble, as the pasuk said, l'chavod l'sif ares, to beautify the kohen in his presentation in honor of the avodah Hashem. Tanu Rabbanan hayim rishalom. Let's say the begotten, which were meant to be cut to size, made to order, custom fit. Hayim rishalom, the drag on the floor, are too long. That's how Rashi learns. Negror and Bekarka, which would indicate that the ksainis, like the rope that he would wear, a long shirt, would actually reach the ground. If it was dragging, that's too long. But the Rambam actually learns that the ksainis would reach only to the right above the ankle. So here, Merushalim means it was longer than that. Too long. Misulakan, or is lifted too high, too short. Mishuchakim, worn out. Vavad, he proceeded to do the avodah with those. Misfitting begotim, avodah sakshir, although preferably they should fit him perfectly, they should present beautifully, but evet, it works. What if he added or detracted from the number of begotim? Lavash nimechasayim, decided to wear two pairs of pants, they have natim, two belts, chasur achas, yesur achas, missing a beget, adding a beget, oishoyisali ritiyah makas, besore, tachas biglo, he had a bandage on a wound, on a skin, right beneath the beget, which is now a barrier. And the beggar is supposed to be directly on his skin. It says, Yilbash al-Bisari. Or, Ayu Shahi Mutush, no, they were dirty. Some learn, it means visibly dirty, which would be embarrassing for him to wear, you know, in front of a, right, not just a little spot or something. They were seriously dirty. Ayu Mukuroin, or they were torn. Rashi says, even though they're brand new, if they were torn, it's not a proper beged, Rashi says on the second line. The ba'inan l'chavad l'sif ares. That's how the Torah describes them. They have to be beautiful. So if they're lacking that, you know, basic, critical ingredient, psul, va'avad avadas psul, if he works with it, it's possible. Amar li'am ha'shmuel. Mirushal, when they're too long, k'sherun, it passes. Misulakin, however, if they're too short, psulun, they are apostle. Vatanya, we just had a brisa, long and short, can pass. Mirushalan ksherin, musulakin. Vatanya, musulakin ksherin, even if they're too short, they're still kosher. And Shmuel says, they're apostle? How do we fit Shmuel with the brisa? Amar bar chama l'kasher, depends how, why it's too short. If it was cut too short initially, then of course it's apostle. You don't have a proper beged. However, Khan, when Shmuel says Misulakin is kosher, lifted his kosher, it was lifted, you know, by a belt, with a belt. So, you know, he crunched up his, you know, sometimes you have like a belt around your raincoat and you pull it too tight and the raincoat just lifts and crunches and gets, it's a bit short, but it's not really short. It was just lifted that way. Khan Shesulkan, he lifted them out of Avnet with his belt. In that case, says Shmuel, look, the beged itself really fits. Nothing wrong, you know, inherently with the beged's size, so it's okay, even though he's not wearing it properly. Khan. So that's the case of the Braisa. That's why the Braisa says Misulakin is kshir. But Khan, when Shmuel says Misulakin is possible, was speaking that it was cut too short to begin with. The less numi karakla was never there to begin with. It means to say it didn't fit him to begin with. So it's inherently too short and misfitting. Rav Amar, Rav goes a step further. He says, even if it's too long, it's possible as well. Echot ze vechot, whether it's too long or too short, psulin, the beged is possible. And we're going to see in a minute how to reconcile Rav with the Braisa, which seems to say too long is okay. We begin with a story. Rav Hunan, he came to this town called Argiza, Ikla la Argiza. And he stayed in this guest house, and the son of his host had a question for him. Encountered a Talmud Chacham, what opportunity, ask you a question. Ramalei, so who posed him a question? Bar, the son of Osh Pischene, of his host, presented him a question as follows. Mi Amar Shmuel. Did Shmuel then tell us, Miru Shalom Ksherim, Umis Lakim Sulim? Too long is okay, too short is possible, Vatanya. But the Brisa says, even too short is okay, Umis Lakim Ksherim. Amalei says, Bar Mino, leave that alone. We already answered that question before. Bar Mino, let's leave that difficulty on the side. It's been resolved. The Shanye, it was already resolved by Rami Bar Chama. It depends if it was too short to begin with, then it's possible. But if it was just crunched up, then it's okay. Ella, la Rav Kash. But if you want to ask a question, you should ask on Rav. Rav says that even too long is okay. And the Brisa says, Miru Shalan, meaning too long is okay. Rav says, too long is possible. Ella, Rav Kash. If anything, ask Kash on Rav. Who says, Miru Shalan, too long is possible? The Brisa says, okay. Perhaps we'll say, we'll resolve it like this. My Mirushalim, the Brisa says too long is okay, it doesn't mean that it's currently too long. It means that it was lifted up and shortened to size, Musalak and Adi Avnit, it was a belt. So the belt pushed it back to size. The Avnit, Megas Agis. And the Brisa will hold that. You know, when you lift it through using a belt, it's like it's been trimmed and cut back to size. We don't view it. We don't view the robe as being too long anymore. It's been, you know, modified. Actually modified back to size. Through that belt. That belt sort of changes its size. Okay, so that resolves that question. Again, when Rav says, Miru Shalom, too long as possible, we're speaking that it's still too long. Just dragging. The Brisa says, Miru Shalom is Kasha. We're speaking that he reduced it back to size through that belt. And the belt is considered as though it's chopping off the extra material. Right? We look at it the way it is now. The way it is now, it fits in perfectly. It's as though he resized it. Okay, so that resolves that point. But Elo Musalak and Kasha. But now we have a real big difficulty on our hands because the Brisa says, Musalak, which means too short, it's still okay. And Rav says it's not. Now, we can say the Brisa is speaking that it was lifted through that belt. And therefore we ignore that shortening. Because just said a second ago that according to Rav's opinion, shortening via belt is considered resizing the item. So if he shortened it, Mr. Lucky lifted it off the ground, made it too short with his belt, it's as though he resized the actual beged and it's now too small. So whether it was too small to begin with, or made too small via that belt, it's considered a size too small on him. There's no way it could be kosher, according to Rav. Amar Rabbi Zeira. Says Rabbi Zeira, you're right. How does Rav resolve the Brisa? Which says, too long or too short is okay. Rav Chadatani. Rav learned the Brisa differently than we did until now. The Brisa is merely describing one and the same case. It's not two cases, long as one and short. We're speaking about Mirushalim. The begadim were too long, but then they were fixed up. They were lifted by that belt. So it's one case. It started as too long, Mirushalim, but Shesilkana de Avnei lifted them off the ground and he made them perfectly fit. They fit perfectly now. Shesilkana de Avnei. And the Avnei, as we learned before, the belt, it's considered like resizing the beged, because it's all about how it's presented, how he's wearing it. If now it's short, it's now been shortened from its extra long status, and now made to fit, made to size by that belt. It's okay, kshir, and that's why the Brisa says it's okay. So in conclusion, it's very simple. If you have a big de kahuna, which were cut short, too short to begin with, all agree it's possible, no question. It's not made to size. It's not Kimi Dasa, it's not just not covering it properly. Right? And according to Rav, even if it was properly sized, but it was shortened via a belt, it's now considered too short. Right? The size has now been revised. The beggar is too short. What if the beggar is too long? And stayed that way, just dragging. According to Rav, it's puzzle. because that has to fit perfectly according to Shmuel. Look, it's too long. It still covers him. Maybe too much coverage, but it's it doesn't detract from the beggar. Just because it has a little extra, we say, you know, b'chalal mosayim mana, within the number 200, you have included the number 100. So in a large beggar, too large, within it you have the smaller size as well. It doesn't take away from it. It doesn't add, but it doesn't take away. So you still have a proper, properly covering beggar. Says the Gemara, so this question, whether we can allow a long beged, which is really the machlekes Rav and Shmuel, seems to be a machlekes Tanoim as well. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Midifte, Mirushalim Shlei Silka. The beged which is too long, which was not fixed up, which was not lifted, Tanoi seems to be dependent on a machlekes Tanoim, which we find elsewhere, regarding tzitzis no less. You're meant to have four corners. What if you have five? Does it take away? Or no harm was done. It still remains a four-cornered beged, and it's chayiv in tzitzis. Machlokes, sanya. The pasuk says, place four strings of tzitzis on your four corners. Al arba kanfos kesuscha. Arba. It needs to be four. V'lo shalosh, not three. A three-cornered beged is pater. Oyeinu ella. Oh, perhaps the pasuk is excluding five. Oyeinu ella arba v'lechamish. Perhaps four means not five. Well, Keshu Aimer, well, when the Pasuk says, an added expression, Asher Techasaba, the beged which covers you, so that added description is covering an added garment, Haribalas Chamesh Oma, it's coming to cover a five-cornered garment. Homani Mikayim Arba, so why then does the Pasuk state the number four? Arba means Vilei Sholesh, not three. Why do you prefer adding a five-cornered beged and exclude three? If four means four, not three, four, not five. The answer is marbani balas chamish. I prefer including five. Sheyesh b'chal chamish arba. Because in every five, you have four. Fine, you don't need the fifth, but you still have four. So it's chayiv. Umoitzi ani balas shalosh, as opposed to three. Shem b'chalal shalosh arba. Within three, you don't have four. So the pasuk speaks about a four-cornered garment. Obviously not three, because three doesn't have four, but five has four within it. B'tani idach, we have another b'raisa. Al arba kanfos susch. Four means four. Arba v'lo shalosh. Four not three. Arba v'lo chamish. Four not five either. Apparently, the machlokes revolves around our point. If you add, does it detract from the original? Does it become a new entity? Or does it still maintain its original identity? The Marasavar Yosef Command Ise Dami, the second brisa which says five is exempt from tzitzis, because Yosef, when it's extra, Command Ise Dami, it says though it's there, which means to say you can't ignore that extra bit. And when you add, you have really reinvented the entity. It's a new entity. It's a number five entity. It's not four. It's exempt from tzitzis, which is meant for four. Likewise, regarding the begadim, bigdikuna, which are too long, they don't relate to him, to the size of the kohen. It's too long. It's a new thing. Umar Sabar, whereas this first shita says, kimad alas adam, you can ignore the extra. Just ignore it. The addition doesn't render it a new entity. It's still considered the same begad of four. Likewise, when the begadim of the kohen are too long. Lo, he said, not necessarily so. Perhaps the kuli alma command is a dummy. Perhaps all would agree. The addition does detract. So regarding big day kahuna, too long is pasuk. Shani hacha, here it's different by tzitzis, because we have that extra pasuk which covers the extra garment. The Rabbi Rahman Asher Techasavot, her added the expression Asher Techasavot to cover this new type of garment, which has five. V'idach. Now the opposing view holds, no, the Torah is not including that. Hayasha techasaba, this extra pasuk, my avadle, what does he apply it for? Miboyle is applying it to include even a garment of a blind man. Typically, we're meant to see the tzitzit, experience it, only during daytime when you can notice. What if he's a blind man? He can't see ever. Even his beged is chayiv. And it's learned from asha techasaba. Because the sani is written in the brisa, brisa m'oise. Tzitzis is only active during a time when you can see. Prat l'chusas light as opposed to a garment which is meant for nighttime, which you can't see. Oh yeah, in el prat l'chusas suma, perhaps it's coming to exclude a blind man's garment since you can't see it. No, k'shu'ayma sh'tachasa bo, and the pasuk adds that expression. It's covering a blind man's garment. Hare k'sus suma omar. Hence we have the k'sus of the suma included as well. Homani mekayim merusim oisim. So what then does the pasuk mean? You got to see it. Pasuk suksalei, as opposed to a nighttime garment. So we're choosing to include the blind man's and exclude the pajamas. Who's to say which one's in, which one's out? Uma rois. What made you decide, the rabbis, to include the k'sus of the suma? Loitzin, to exclude k'sus, the garment of Laila? The answer is marbani k'sus suma. It's probable the blind man's is included, because although he can't see, but others can experience it. Shiyeshna b'ri'ya etz l'acher, at least others can experience it and see it. So it's more probable that that beggar is obligated. Umoitzin k'sus laila, as opposed to a nighttime garment, which nobody can see. She'ena b'ri'ya etz l'acher, nobody can see it. And therefore, it's probable that that is the one excluded. V'idach. Now, the other shita, who had already used Asher Techasabo for the five-cornered beggar, how does he know the blind man's? Nafkalei me'asher. The extra word asher, Asher Techasabo, covers even this. V'idach, the other shita, Asher Le'dorish, doesn't dwell on the word asher, it's just a modern expression. He doesn't recognize. So, in conclusion, regarding tzitzis, three-cornered, pat, four is chayev, five is machlekes. And a nighttime beggar is pater, but a ksus suma is chayiv. Tanu Rabbanan, back to Big Dekon. So Pasuk says, the beggar is made from bat, midoy bat. Bat means linen, flax. Bat tells us the material that it's meant from, that it's made from, shiyush al boots. Likewise, the word bat tells you pristine, new, fresh looking. Like the way it looked when it grew out of the ground. Shiyu chadashim, as opposed to worn out and dirty. Bad also means shiyu shizurim. The threads are spun and plied. Bad, shiyu chutun kofal shlishav. Bad also means it's six plied, each thread. In a minute we'll see how we know those things from this word. And the word bad as well tells you on itself, on its own. Don't add other begadim with bigdei kahuna. You can't wear ordinary clothing together with the big day kahuna. Only a pile of Rav Yosef. Let me try to understand the price, which seems to learn all these halachas from the word bad. I see why butz is alluded to in the pasuk. Hakamash mulan. So the price is teaching butz in midachrin alon. Yeah, that the garments are comprised of. Of boots, of material, of linen material, right? So that's fine. Boots in, yes, linen, but as opposed to bidachrino, but not made of other materials. So that's clearly indicating the word bad. Ella, but the second halacha, which says bad, sheyu chadashim, they have to be nice and clean and new. Chadashim in shchokin loy, new begadim, but not worn out begadim. By the time we learned in the brayse earlier, mishchokin kshirim, if they're worn out, they're okay. And here we say that it needs to be, it has to be a new begadim. Amar lei. So he responded, Rabbi Yosef responded to Abayu, Tameich. Now, according to your kasha, what about the other items in the brayse? So it said, bad means, shiyuk chutun kofa shisha, that the threads are six plied. Six plied? What do you see that in the word bad? If anything, bad means chad. Bad means one, a single. Chad chad chudei mashma means each thread is single plied on its own. What do you see? You know, double plied and six plied. So apparently, the brisa doesn't mean that the word bad is actually alluding to these items. Ella hachigam. Rather, the brisa meant like this. It was just sort of a point of reference. The begadim shenemar ben bad, the garments of the kohen on which the Torah uses the word bad. Which means linen. So those begadim, you should know. There's a list of requirements, which we learn from elsewhere. Rashi says we learn from, from each halacha is learned from, and some, in fact, are not me'akev, and some are. Right. So some things are required, but as a preference, like brand new begadim, it's nice to have them, but it's not critical. Whereas some items are critical because they're actually alluded to in the pasuk, like the material, like, right? So tzrichin shiyu kol shel butz. They're meant to be made of butz, linen, chadashim, nu, shzurin, spun. Likewise, shiyechutim kafar shlisha, each thread has to be six plied. So that's the sort of the full list of requirements. But you're right, not everything is being drawn from this pasuk. Yesh mehen l'mitzvah, some are just, you know, a requirement, preferably. Like, for instance, Rashi says, the idea of having new begadim, as opposed to worn out, that's not learned from this pasuk. V'yesh mehen l'akiv, as opposed to the linen aspect, the spun, all that, that we learn from the word bad. And Rashi goes to explains how we see this, in the, you know, see these items in the actual word bad. He says because we find that the pasuk calls it sheish mosar, and the other halacha regarding six ply we learn from the Gemara Yuma has a drasha for that. But in any case, you're right. The chadashim requirement to have them new is only a preference, but it's not critical. Ask the Gemara. Where do we find that the word bad means linen? We might a high bad kitna. Where do we find that bad means flax? Amar b'yisur b'chanina. The word itself indicates as such. Dover ha'ilu ben akarka bad bevad. Something which grows out of the ground, stalk by stalk. Some learn that each seed produces its own stalk. Some learn, and Rashi is mashma like that, in contrast to other plants which sort of branch off into branches, the linen plant just goes directly up, one stalk at a time. There are no branches, there are no offshoots. So it's describing the characteristics of linen. It says in Ma'ema Amro, maybe it's referring to wool, which also grows one hair at a time. Amro Miftzel, in fact, is wool. When it develops, it actually ends up splitting. Some hair is split. So on the animal's back, so that's not a bad bevat. Well, kisna nam miftzel, flax also. You know, you crush it, it splinters into fibers. Hey, al de la kusa miftzel, it splits when you bang it, but not as it's growing. Ravina amar mihacha, have another source that in fact the bita kihuna are meant to be made from flax linen. Pasuk nicheskel describing the various garments. Says pare, these are the hats, the caps, pishtim, made of pishtim, there you go, flax. Yil roisham, on their heads, u'michasei pishtim yil masneim, and pants of pishtim as well. Lo yachru b'yaza, they should not belt themselves b'yaza, where there is an area of sweat, above the elbow area. We'll see soon in the Gemara. Amulir av ashla ravina. I have a question. You're sourcing the material from the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Va'ad da'asei Yecheskel menol. This concept, until Yecheskel HaNavi came along, how do we know it? I mean, this is such a basic, critical component relating to Bigdei Kehuna. What happened until Yecheskel HaNavi came? How do we know it? V'tameich, so he says to him, according to what you're asking, there's another halacha, which was also learned from Yecheskel HaNavi. Ha, the following halacha, that a Kohen, who had not experienced a bris milah, may not do the avoid, and if he does the avoid, it becomes false. How do we know that? Until Yecheskel HaNavi came and presented the halacha. Ha, the Omer of Chizda. Chizda told us, Dover said the following halacha. You're right, Meteres Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamad, we didn't learn from Teres Moshe from Chumash. Medivri, however, Medivri Yecheskel Mabuz Lamad, we learned from Yecheskel HaNavi, where it says, Kol ben Necher Ore Lev Oral Basar, a Kohen who's been estranged in terms of his religious commitments. Oral Basar, likewise, if he was lacking in Bris Milah, well, Yavin Migdash, the Shah saying he shouldn't come serving the Migdash. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel. Until Yecheskel HaNavi came and presented it, Atshuva Yecheskel. How do we know this idea? Ella must be that it was known from day one, from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Har Sinai. It wasn't recorded until later, but it was known orally until then. Gemara Gemirla was known by tradition. Va'as Yecheskel, and Yecheskel came along, va'as Me'akroni, presented it in his psukim. He recorded it. Hachanami here as well regarding the material of the Bigdei Kehuna. Gemara Gemirla was known to us from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Har Sinai. However, it was only recorded until later. One last question. The pasuk by Yecheskel concluded the words, Lo yachru b'yoza. What does that mean? My yachru b'yoza. Amar bai liyachru, they shouldn't belt themselves, right? They would use an avnei, the belt, to, you know, tie up their begadim. So it would be kind of pretty high up. But how high? Not above the elbow area, which tends to be a more a sweaty area. Lo yachru mokim shemazin. Kedesan yivlot n'braisa, k'shem choygum, they would belt themselves in chayvim le'lamakmas name. They wouldn't do it beneath their waist area, le'lamatam atzileim, nor above their elbows. El kenegad atzileidem, rather opposite their elbows. Omar Vashi comes an interesting story regarding this. Belting thing. Amarli, Huna Barnosan related to me a story that happened to him. Zimnachada, one time it so happens, I was standing coming in front of a king, a Persian king. His name was Izgadar. Kamedi Izgadar Malka. Vahava madli li hem yinoy. And it so happens that my belt was a bit on the high side. V'taisin yale. And the king walked over and he lowered my belt, lest it be in like a more sweaty area. Vamali told me, you have to dress nobly. Mamlechas kehanim, v'goy kodesh, sibchu. The Torah describes you, a kingdom of priests, holy nation. You have to dress presentably. Okay, so this corresponds with the Gemara before, that the belt was meant to be a bit lower. When I came to Amemar, I told him the story. Amar Ali told me, great, it was fulfilled on you, the words, V'hayu melachim, kings will be omnayach, your helpers, your dressers. You had this great king come and dress you. In any case, we see, that in fact, even the Goyish kings, men of nobility, would understand that royalty is meant to present in a noble manner, in a way which is befitting, and likewise the belt is meant to be in its proper place. Okay, so we learned about the din of the kohen wearing his proper begadim. You can't go up, you can't go down, right? A kohen head should wear exactly 4, not 8. Likewise, a kohen gadol can't drop his number either. Certainly if he's missing all his begadim, or he decides to add another, double pants or something like that. And whether it pertains to critical avoida, non-critical avoida, it is possible. What about if the baguette is worn out? So b'diavad it's okay. However, dirty or torn would be possible. What about long or short? So regarding undersized, if it's to begin with undersized, it would be possible according to all shittas. If it was really made to size, but it was shortened through a belt, Rav says puzzle, Shmuel says kosher. If it was oversized and dragging, Rav would say puzzle, Shmuel would say kosher. We had halacha regarding tzitzis. Three corners is potter, four is chayef, five is machlekes. Ksus laila is potter, ksus suma is chayef. Big dekuna meant to be made of linen. Lechatchila should be new, right? They're meant to be spun, six plied, etc. How do we know linen? We have two sources. Either the word bad indicates, it describes the linen stalk, or the pasuk in Yecheskel, Parei Pishtim, which was known in the Chatchila, but it was recorded by Yecheskel, and we learned about the proper placement of the belt as per the story with Izgadar Malka. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.